Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Away we go.
Our Merseyside legends.
Through Aldridge outside the penalty.
John Aldridge.
Gets the ball to his left foot. Brilliant.
And Graham Sharp.
Graham Sharp, whose season has suddenly turned into gold.
01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to the Legends. I'm Steve Hoversall. It's 6.30 on your Monday evening. Busy Premier League weekend to look back on. You can get your calls into Aldo and Sharpie, 01514720967. 4720967. Just been told in a couple of weeks' time, we'll have a big announcement on a Monday. We'll have Robbie Fowler in here to make it as well. It's all very exciting. The boys are getting stuck into each other already on it. We'll tell you a little bit more in 2 weeks, but it's golf-related, and there's going to be some big names involved in it as well, and it will happen in about a couple of months' time. So Robbie Fowler will join us. That'll be the Monday after the League Cup final.
Ooh.
Let's hope there's something for us to celebrate with Robbie in the studio as well.
We've got the cup in the studio. We can try our best, can't we?
Can Robbie bring the cup?
Maybe he'll zoom in. Wangly.
Has he got more power than you, John?
Big time, yeah.
Valentine's Day at the weekend. Was there any worse sight than yesterday watching that guy try to get his chops round Divock Origi after he scored the fourth goal? Did you see it?
No.
Have you not?
No.
John, you must have seen that. That was horrible, wasn't it? He doesn't just... He puts his arms around him like...
There's a picture in one of the papers this morning. He's got his eyes shut as well. That was even more worrying.
He's clinched him like it's the love of his life after Divock scored. This is a fan, and Divock's run over to the side.
He's threw the lips on him.
Oh, yeah. But with the mouth open.
Yeah, no. The whole lot.
Was it tongues?
Oh! Honestly,
it wasn't
Sharp,
nice. It wasn't
no,
nice.
Do though. Not pick up a paper with that picture in because it's rather disturbing. I don't know what Divock. Do you guys ever get kissed by a fan when you were?
Yeah, but not on the lips, cheeks, and whatever.
Yeah.
And
you know when you scored though, when you went over, did anyone ever sort of plant something unexpected on you?
Can't remember what's healing if they did.
No one would kiss your face. Yeah,
no, exactly. Exactly.
Just before we get on to our footy, we had a little debate out in the office about Messi's penalty yesterday for Barcelona. So Messi gets a penalty, and they're in the theatric stage of the game. So he runs up to it, and he just kicks it to the side for Suarez to score the penalty. Now, you redefined penalties, Aldo, in what you did.
Yeah.
But to me, that was one man against one man. Is this fair?
Why are you getting so hit up about it?
Because someone is going to try this in the Premier League now.
Well, they have done.
Yeah, but it went wrong.
Pires made the mess of it. Yeah. It's not easy. It's not an easy technique, you know. It can easily go wrong,
yeah,
that.
It's not a new thing.
But
it's not a nice thing.
I said to you when we came in, I don't know, was it something for Johan Cruyff? You know, he's been struggling with cancer. And was it a little gesture to him? Because he was the first person that I knew who'd done that. So, but even looking at it, he didn't mean it for Suarez. He meant it for Neymar. But Suarez was on his toes and got in, and got in and scored. But no, if they want to do that, let them do it.
Do you want to see more of that in the game?
Showboating. Hey, look, the business is entertainment business, and if it's in the rules, then that's okay, you know. I know what you're saying, it doesn't look good, but my philosophy on it when I thought about the stamp and the shimmy, whatever people called it, was if the goalie wants to go early and cheat, you know, and psych it out, well, that's up to him. If you stamp your foot like I did, and then they'd go, you'd see in the... You know, in the corner of your eye, I'm going one way, and, you know, 9 times out of 10 it worked, you know, if you can keep your composure, that's all right. So if the goalkeeper wants to go when Messi's coming up, then that's it. It's his fault. If he stands up, he's got a chance of getting that, you know, of closing it down and making a save. So the goalie goes early, then, you know, that's that.
It'd be interesting to see if they'd done it if it was 0-0. Saying that, you go back to the other way, and John talked about the way he took his, but what the one, the Panenka, they just took it right down the middle. Is that not taking the mickey as well?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, redefining things that happen in the game. Did you ever, either of you ever, talk to someone else about doing something like that within a game that was completely sort of a curveball?
No, I've never ever done it. It's spare the moment, wasn't it?
That must have been discussed, mustn't it, yesterday?
That must have been. Yeah, that must have been.
Yeah. That's a training ground.
No, they've probably said, they were 5-0 up and said, listen, I'm going to just tap this aside for you. Are you up for it? Yeah. But as we saw with Van Persie and Perez, when it came to it, Perez was the one that who felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's why they got it messed up. Yeah. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. And then, when not, was it Henri? It was Henri, sorry. It wasn't Van Persie.
It was Henri.
And they said, Perez said, as he was up, running up to do it, he was saying, don't pass it to me. I don't want to do this. I don't
put
want to
the
do
doubt
it.
In his mind.
Yeah. And he didn't want to do it because he felt, as you said, that he was like, it's not right. It's cheating or something. It's not right to do it. So that's why it went wrong for them.
It's not cheating. You just don't want it to go wrong. But actually, I would imagine Perez, if he's watched that today, is thinking, no, why is the worst moment in my career being dredged up here? Right, let's talk about the weekend's footy. Liverpool to six. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Been a long time coming to see a game
it's
with
like
six.
It's waiting for a bus with us. You know, you look at some of the away games. We have it six at Southampton, six at Villa, four at City, you know, five at Norwich and three at Chelsea. We've scored more goals than anyone since January the 1st, by the way, I found out today. And we're mourning about not scoring. But they all come in certain games. We've had so many games we haven't scored. So it's quite ironic, you know.
16 goals, our producer Dave's saying.
Yeah, waiting for the bus and they all come at once. And hey, Villa, we all know.
I'm going to see all the Villa was under-11s could have beat that Villa side. They were absolutely useless.
They scored six.
They were rubbish. Jimmy Carragher said that afterwards on the television, we spot on, they were rubbish.
He said they're the worst team in Premier League history. Is that right?
He made a statement which is true. He said, if they go down, what Premier League club would take any of those players? And I think he's spot on. Yeah, not one.
Not one. The only one that really brought that was Sinclair when he came on. He looked lively and at the bar and whatever. But they were extremely poor. But you've still got to beat them. We talked about this when Everton battered Sunderland. Yeah. They were the same, but you've still got to beat them. You've got to put the ball in the net six times. And Liverpool did. And it was, from my point of view, it was great to see for the first time, you know, Sturridge, Coutinho, and Firmino. Because Firmino is settling in now, and you're starting to see why they paid £27 million. Coutinho, we all know about when he's up for it, he's different class. And Sturridge, he's still ring rusty, but, you know, his goal, his movement for the goal was brilliant. Great ball in. And they had the Villa defence all over the show with the passing and the moving.
Sturridge made that header look easy, but actually, not all strikers would have finished it as easily as he did.
No, you're right. He was actually moving away, but he actually flicked it into the other side. We were all right. Me and Sharpie were good with our heads, so we'd have been okay doing that. But you're right. Some might have put that wide.
It was the sort of ball Benteke has been.
Yeah.
Thriving for. He wants that kind of ball. Listen, he's got to get in those positions, but. You'd have thought he'd have got on the end of that as well.
You never answered me. Is that the worst team you've seen in the Premier League?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Do you think so? If you went back 20-odd years.
Derby were poor.
Swindon had a rubbish team, didn't they, at one point?
No, I'm telling you, honestly, I said before the game, I saw Villa the other week, and I can't remember the game it was, and I watched the players at the end and everything else. I just looked at them and I thought, there ain't one bit of fight in that team. Not one bit of fight in that team.
But the manager's got to come to scrutiny. Mm. They've only won three games all season. One at home, I think one or two at home. You're down.
Joint top scorer's got two goals, is that right?
But Sharpie's right. They had a little goal for 10 minutes, but then, you know, the first goal just killed them off. And the manager's come in at a time, you know, coming for Sherwood, and his structure... Well, there isn't a structure, and there's no fight. There's no fight. You've got to see a bit of fight in the team, and it didn't seem to be one, you know. It was easy.
Mind
you,
Newcastle have a bit of that as well, don't they?
Listen, and it's hard, it's easy for us to say here now, but if you're down there, you've got to see something. Your supporters have got to see something. Listen, you might not be the best, but you all roll your sleeves up. We talk about West Brom. Well, they're down there, but they came to Goodison and they were organised. They got behind the ball, they defended well, got the body in front of the ball blocking and everything else. If you want to get out of the position you're in, you've got to show that. You've got to show an attitude that's going to get you away from trouble. You look at Aston Villa, there's not one. There's not a collective either to say, come on, roll our sleeves up, we're all in this together, boys, we're fighting for this. There wasn't any fight whatsoever. So that's for me, they're doomed.
Yes. They were horrible to watch, weren't they?
Well, West Brom, when we played them, I come out and said it was anti-football. What would he like that on Saturday? Tony Pulis set his teams up. They do fight and they'll graft for each other, you know, but they sit and they work on set plays and corners, which we said, we picked them on Friday, yeah. Set play, and they scored off a set play. Mm. But for me, I don't know the
Everton. Everton played well.
Did they try to play?
No, Everton played well. Everton were the better team, were on top, hit the bar.
30-odd shots,
yeah, everything else. But they got a goal. And they, that suited them. They just sat behind and they defended really, really well. I know he gets a lot of stick, Pulis, but if you come away and he says, listen, this is the way I wanted my team to do, they done everything he asked them.
Yeah.
He got behind the ball, made it difficult for Everton. Because it was so compact, Ross Barkley couldn't get any space to play and run at them. And, you know, they defended well, but Everton didn't play badly. Mm-hmm. Everton played well.
34 shots.
But couldn't get the goal.
It's a lot of shots. Sounds like Liverpool from 2 months ago. 34 shots, no goal.
If Everton had scored first, it would have been a different game. But as soon as they nicked a goal, that was it. You know, it was. And to be fair to them, hands up, they
defended
well.
Did they try to play a bit over the?
No, not really. Not really. No, not in particular.
Yeah.
Berahino looks as if he's put on some weight. Doesn't look the same player. Big boy Rondon had a shift in kind of thing. But no, Everton played well and didn't deserve to lose.
Yeah. Okay, your calls, welcome at 0151 472 0967. Before we get to Rob, who's our first caller on the line, just a quick heads up. Two lovely events taking place, and I did say I'd give this a plug tonight. This is at the Halton Royal British Legion. Sharpie's in one of these. Sharpie,
Hammer?
Peter Reid, Derek Mountfield, John Bailey, and Pat Vandenhal. What a famous five dad is.
When's that?
Well, it says here it's on the 18th of March.
What day is that?
It's the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Friday the 18th of March. You're one of the headlining acts here.
I'll be struggling because I'll be here.
Yeah, but it's after that. Tony's Sharpie, asked me to give it a plug.
That's
for
going
you.
To be a late night, mate.
Everton's class of 80. Tony, get on to him.
I know.
Actually, if you want to go down, it sounds like a great night.
About it.
Sharpie and four of the great lads. And then Liverpool got one as well, 50 Shades of Silver. And this is Tomo, Dietmar Hamann and Ronnie Whelan, again at the Royal British Legion in Runcorn on the 11th of March. So if you want to get involved in either of those, I think you can do it via, at Murrell Tony. We'll put a link out there on Twitter so you can see if you want. And if you want to get along to those, there's some great names involved. Right, let's get to our first caller of the night. It's Rob, who's a Red. He's in Wallasey. It must be a happy Red, Rob.
I am a happy Red. That's true. I thought we played really well, but let's take not away from the fact that Aston Villa were absolutely awful. And normally I hate saying that because it takes away from your team and stuff, but they were one of the worst teams I've seen. I think I agree with Jamie Carragher. Don't know what you think, Aldo, on that.
No, yeah. We all know that. We know our football, don't we, Rob? They were awful, absolutely awful. But, again, you know, you've got to be without Coutinho there. Would have probably won by, but not by such a scoreline. I thought Coutinho was fantastic when you consider that he's been out for 4 or 5 weeks, 5 weeks now, yeah.
But with Coutinho, though, I do think that he's one of them luxury. He's like a luxury player. He doesn't. Yeah. He's not like he won't play. He won't play at the top of his game every. He's not Suarez.
Yeah.
He won't play every game. You're not going to get 100% out of him. You know, like you're not going to get that. That might be 1 in 5.
Yeah.
You know, when people talking about going to Barcelona and Barcelona and test to Barcelona, you wouldn't get on Barcelona's team.
Yeah, no.
You know, yeah. Not at the moment.
I think for, you know, when you look at him, you know, he does go missing in some games. You know, what you say about Suarez, he never missing at all. But with Coutinho, sometimes, if he's not on all cylinders, then, you know, you don't see the right player, do you? I waffled away, which was a real poor performance. But for talent, hey, he's different class when he wants it, doesn't he?
No, he is. And one of the things that shocked me on yesterday was we actually scored from a corner.
Yeah. I said that actually yesterday on LFC TV. Yeah, I don't know the last time he scored off a corner, by the way. I don't even know whether Torre knew what he was doing because it was very instinctive. He was expecting to get clear and it just come to him last minute. He just turned his head and, you know, goalie had no chance.
Yeah, no, I just on the corners thing, just you guys, obviously, you've been in management yourselves. Do you know when we get a corner and it's against us, why aren't we doing? I was on the train, funny enough, and Kenny Dalglish was on the train, like, and asking the same question. When you defend at a corner, why aren't you? Why aren't managers putting two or three players on the halfway line? You've got all these players, you've got Allens, you've got Philip Coutinho, you aren't going to do much in there. Why aren't you putting stuff?
Yeah, I agree, especially if you've got a small team. Johnny King used to do a tram here, like Pat Nevin and a couple of lads. He'd say, well, you stay up. Unfortunately, I had to go back. I had to run back another 60 yards. I wasn't too happy, Sharpie. But I think that's a great idea. If you've got a big team, it keeps two of their centre-halves back. But no managers do that. They'd rather get them all back and try to protect the areas in the 18. It's different now to our day. I've seen Firmino once, marking Scott Dan or something like that it was, and he scored, something daft. I don't know what the thoughts are.
I think sometimes coaches say that they prefer that the 18 yard box to be crowded.
Yeah.
So players don't get a run on players. So what they say, if they took three players and put them up front, the area would be less crowded, and then people would get a run. I honestly don't know. I have to agree with you. I think, what does, for Everton as well, what does De La Feo do when he comes back in defence from a corner?
Just absolutely nothing.
Hopeless, nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Rob, who's fighting their way into the cup final team, do you think?
I think Daniel Sturridge will score goals for any team he plays for. You're only going to get one. You're only going to get him playing 5, 10 to 10 games a season, but Daniel Sturridge has got to play in there. He's without a shadow of a doubt. He's got to start the game because he could win a cup final for any team, whether it's Liverpool or whether it's next year or another club. But he's got to start.
I actually think, Rob, that the team he had out yesterday was probably more or less his strongest team.
Well, with 2 weeks to go, there's players actually trying to nail their names in now, isn't there?
Now's the time. He can't chop and change. Now's the time. He's got no cup games. So what do we have to cup? We've got the final, of course, in the league. But for me, the Europa Cup is absolutely massive now. I don't know if we're going into the Champions. I've got to have a proper right go at that. But for me, the kids have come in and they've done well. No one can say that they haven't had an opportunity. He's not given anyone a chance, which he has through the injuries and the games that we've had. But now you've got to go strong especially in the Champions League. You've got to go in the
Europa League. Maybe we'll be in the other one next year. You never know. Rob, thanks for your call. Excellent to talk with you, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Right, look who's scoring for the evening before we get to the break. Here's your first clues, chaps. First clues: former Everton player, born in 1973, so he's 42. He's played 70 games. But he didn't score a league goal. He didn't have a league goal to his name. And he won 56 caps for his country, which is, he's got quite a few under his belt. And he played in every one of his country's games during Euro 2000. Played every one of his country's games in Euro 2000. Look, we're going to open it up a little bit tonight. And what we're going to do is, if a caller out there gets this first and gives us a bell and gets it right.
Safari.
I just said
Safari.
That.
Yeah, Google, you mean, yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. We might just give you a prize instead. But those are the clues. Former Everton player, 70 games, didn't score a league goal, and he won 56 caps for his country. Right, we'll take more of your calls in a moment or two. 0151 4720967. It's the Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
6:53. I wish we could have a camera with some microphones in here so you could watch the battle of wills between these two as they try and work out the mystery player on Look Who's Scoring. Former Everton player, born 73, played 70 games, didn't score a league goal. 56 caps for his country. I'll give you another clue in a moment or two. First, though, let's celebrate the birthday of a man who's just turned 65 this week. Here's his title-winning goal in 1977.
Hughes, a little touch forward, this time looking for Fairclough. Fairclough shielding it from Palmer and the ball running through to Ian Callaghan. Callaghan, Hibbett coming to make the challenge. The ball turned in by Smith. To Toshak, to Keegan! Oh, he scored! Gary Keegan! Gary Pearce prepares to take the goal kick for Wolves. That's it! Liverpool are the league champions for 1976, and the Red Army is coming on in their thousands Oh, my word, what scenes.
You're at this game?
I was at the game at Wolves, yeah.
Brilliant. Now, Kevin Keegan, 65. In my head, Kevin Keegan isn't 65, but...
He's, oh, yeah, no, yeah, he's like a Peter Pan, isn't he?
What do you remember of the game?
I remember the funny part when we jumped off the train. My mate thought he was being good. He jumped off when the train was still in motion. The police got him. Took him and laughed me head off. And so we got into the big end at Wolves end, and I've never seen so many Liverpool fans ever away from home. We just took over the ground and the gates got knocked down and everything. And 1-0 at half-time, Steve Kindon had scored for them because they needed to win to stay up, Wolves. And the second half, Liverpool just took a grip of the game and... No, we end up. I think Toshak scored, Ray Kennedy and Kevin Keegan, I think.
Yeah, you hear some of those names on the commentary there. It's magnificent, isn't it? You probably almost can't believe you were there watching that sort of game.
Fantastic.
How old were you, John?
I was 18, yeah. Yeah, brilliant, yeah, yeah.
Been trekking up and down.
Work and everything, yeah.
Did you do that, Sharp? Did you trek up and down the country following a team when you were young? No?
Just went to home games.
That was it?
Yeah. Went to home games.
Elaborate, tell us a bit.
Well, I just went to home games, Rangers at Ibrox.
Right. How many did Rangers
go to
fit
Celtic
in?
Celtic Park?
Yeah. Went to the Old Firm game, which was like scary to say the least.
I don't wonder how good the atmosphere.
Well, it was scary. Oh. In those days, it was scary kind of thing. But you didn't. I'm just trying to think when I started going. I must have started going when I was about 11. I was the first allowed to go at 11. So it was a fair old travel for us. We had to get the bus, then the underground, and then walked from obviously Glasgow into like towards Ibrox. So from about 11 years of age, but I was never allowed to go to Rangers Celtic game until I got older.
They had an underground in Glasgow in the 50s.
Who made you a comedian? Whoever it was just failed miserably.
Right, let's talk to John, who's an Everton fan. He's in Heighton. Welcome to the show, John.
Good evening, lads.
John.
Oh, it's cold enough tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all right in here, John. We're okay, mate.
Just a quick one, Steve. Before, Steve, you said the worst thing in football was that fella trying to kiss Origi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, go on.
Would you want to sit in the park end and watch that clown climb them steps in them brown shoes, mate? That makes your heart drop. Martinez.
Oh, gosh. Come on, tone it down, John.
why should we pay all this money to go and watch that?
Was it that bad at the weekend, Sharp? It wasn't that bad.
No, you're right. We didn't play that bad, but come on. Everyone knows what they're going to do. Yet we've still done exactly the same from the first minute to the 92nd minute. We never changed our play, even when he took the subs off, which needs explaining. We still done exactly the same. We crossed the ball to Lukaku, who never won it ever. You know, Lennon was the best player on the pitch, took him off. We needed to... Against a team like that, who were all 6 foot at the back, Why play a big fella and try and cross it? Put the ball on the floor and let the little fellas run them ragged.
John, that's easy enough to see this. Listen, you make some good points here, but let me tell you, when you play against a team that is as well-drilled as that, you know, and I don't think, as you said, we played badly, but they were really well-drilled, got themselves in blocking the ball, blocking shots, stopped a space that Ross Barkley could... move into and manoeuvre into. It is very, very difficult. I agree with you. I thought the substitution of Lennon was strange, to say the least, especially bringing on Coney. But I didn't think it was that bad, as you said. And, you know, sometimes when you come up against a team like that, whatever you do, you just struggle to break them down. And that was our problem. I agree with you. Balls in the box. I didn't think Lukaku was on his game. And they were bossing him all the time. But I didn't think it was as bad. I thought they tried... But just on the game, they never had that little bit of luck you need.
Yeah, I agree, you do need luck, but Crane, you've got to create your own. And doing the same thing day in, day out with the same personnel, every team comes to Goodison now and knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sit back, because we haven't got the brains to pick the pockets. We need. I mean, I love Barkley, but he's not a number 10, I've said this before. Mm. We need a proper number 10 if we're going to have that much possession and against teams that are trying to stop us. And we haven't got one, so we need to think of something else. Mm. And on Saturday, I spoke to four lads from West Brom, this the God's honest truth, this, and I asked them who they'd rather have, Pulis or Martinez, and the four of them said Pulis, because he gets the best out of any team he plays with.
Well then, John, I'll put it on your toes then. Would you have Pulis at Everton? the football he plays?
No, but there's a difference, Graham. Mm. We've got a team there that can go and take anyone on. Mm. On the day, they can take anyone on. Tony Pulis doesn't take teams like that. His teams are always of the same ilk. And that's why he's employed by these managers, or these owners, rather, who don't want to go down to a lower league.
Mm. John. It is a little statement from a lad called Tony Scott, good lad who works at the Echo, and he put this on social media at the weekend. He put, Tottenham are the team that Everton should be. They have similar players ability-wise, but Everton lack everything else. Is that unfair or not?
No, I read that myself, to be totally honest. Mm. We have got some cracking players, Steve, but we're doing the same thing all the time. Can you honestly, between the three of us, can you name another manager other than Pulis who's only got a plan A?
Remy Gardner, Aston Villa.
Roy Hodgson.
Yeah. Where's Remy Gardner going to be next season?
Championship, yeah.
Yeah, so why is Martinez allowed to run this club the way he's doing it? We are not. We've got some great players, but we're playing woeful. You know, he's a stats man. He keeps going on about the stats. Let him have a look at the stats. We've got more goals against than Aston Villa at home. We've won five, I think, at home, Graham. Mm. You know, I was going to come on Friday and give the man a bit of credit for the three games prior. You know, the Newcastle, the Carlisle, and the Stoke. Well, to be honest, should we have beat Carlisle? Yeah. Should we have beat Newcastle? Of course we should. Mm. The Stoke was a great game, and it was great because in the second half, although we never scored, we didn't give up. We had more chances in the second half than the first. Now, in previous games, 3-0 up, 2-0 up, we've stopped, but we didn't. We carried on, and I was going to come on and say, well, he's starting to learn a little bit. Mm. You've got to change your tactics. You've got to do different things in every game. Plan your game around the team you're playing.
And Sharpie, what do you think about Kone being brought on? I read a lot of stuff on social media saying that was a bad choice.
For me, he's obviously his player. If it was me, I still can't believe that Kevin Morales doesn't get more. I don't know what the situation is with here, but I thought Morales should have been brought on rather than Kone. If that was me making the substitution, I think Morales gives you a little bit more. Coney's hold-up play is good, but I don't think he's going to get you a goal. At least Morales can get you a goal. So I thought it was a strange substitution. But it was no John Stones on the bench as well. Baines left on the bench. So he made the decision. He thought that team would get a result. They didn't play badly. But I said on Friday on the show, you could see it coming. And that's why I said to the supporters, we need to show patience. But it is disappointing losing to West Brom at home.
Okay, John, can you cheer up if you can get this? Look who's scoring, right? Can you take it? No, it isn't. And funnily enough, someone else, James, has just tweeted me that as well. James says, Abel Xavier. It's not.
Thomas Meira.
Oh!
I threw one in there, haven't I? Is it not, no?
Yeah, put a Thomas Meira in there. Hang on.
How many guesses is he having?
No, that's the only one I've guessed. I've only done it again, Sharpie.
To be fair, that was a very, very good guess. John could have won a book for that.
Oh, John, I should have whispered in the TMA service part.
Tell you what.
How did you get that?
The next clues were.
I got him a Tommy, didn't I?
Of course he did. He was signed by Aldo.
Yeah.
And his national team.
I remember the team that, you know, when Tramway played at Goodison Park in the FA Cup. I just went, you know, I just went through it. And a bit of an elimination there, Sharpie. And I've come on top again, mate.
You'll know. Sharpie, you'll know. John was on the line there and he's writing all sorts of names trying to get me to confirm whether. And you saw me. I said, no, I'm not going for it. John, great to hear from you anyway, pal. Thank you very much indeed. John making some great points, but Thomas Martin, it's 5-4 to who, the Reds or the Blues?
How am I stuck in five?
All right.
I've won every one, Sean. I've
won the last three and I'm still in five.
You've been penalised for declaring a bad handicap, basically, Sharpie. Okay, we're going to have to take a short break here. Thomas Meira. Get John's best reflection of Thomas Meira after this short break. We've got no more luck who's scoring because the scoreline is 5-4 now. More of your calls coming. 0151 472 0967. It's the Radio City Legends.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
OK, we'll take more of your calls very shortly. I'm Steve Hothersall, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp in the studio. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. It's the Radio City Legends. Aldo, getting the look who's scoring right for this week. Thomas Myra. What sort of lad was Thomas Myra?
Oh, cracking lad, yeah.
Yeah.
Real good lad, yeah. Honest, hard-working, you know, training. Yeah, I liked him a lot. Nice personality.
How long do you have him at Tranmere for?
I'm going to put a complaint in. What's the name of the game is Look Who's Scoring. Thomas Myra is a goalkeeper. Hey, what's going on here?
Well, Dave is... funnily enough, Dave said he did score for his old club, Viking. He scored a goal.
That wasn't
a goalkeeper
in the clues.
Scored.
If you had been in the clues, we might have got it.
Yeah, you're a really bad loser, aren't you? Right, just to give you the heads up once again, in 2 weeks' time, so not next Monday, the Monday after the Cup Final, we'll have Robbie Fowler in here and we'll be doing a big announcement which will involve all Reds and all Blues, and it's very exciting indeed.
Just a funny story with Thomas, because he came in, we were playing Crystal Palace in the Cup game, and we played really well, 2-0, and it went to penalties. So I said to our lads, I looked at their goalkeeper, I said to our lads, look, put it to the goalkeeper's left. Because every save he made was on his right-hand side. I said, he can't get down that side, and I'll take the blame if you miss. Anyway, we got to Ruben Nails, and he smashed it over the stand. So I've come in, and Thomas done well. He made one save, but we done two. So I've come in, and I'm like a nutter to come in. And I'm saying, I told you, just put it to the goalkeeper's right, and I took the blame. And I picked the skip up, and I threw it at the bathroom where they hit this sink, and all the water, it was like, you know, those American films when the water gushes out from it.
Yeah.
Oh, the water. Anyway, they put a bill into Trammy for about 10 grand. 10 grand with. The place where the damage was done wasn't worth 10 grand, by the way. They tried to get it all redone on the basis of us. I got reprimanded and everything because I made a bit of a mess there.
Passed it on to Thomas.
I think we settled for about 2 grand compo.
Brilliant. Right, before we get to our next caller, Peter, just hang on there. Peter, just a quick one again. If you missed it on Friday, just to say once again, we are doing the Cup Final commentary. Myself, Aldo, Spackers, and all the best build-up for a couple of hours at Wembley pre-Liverpool against Manchester City. And thanks for all the really kind messages as well we had.
Brilliant.
Through social media about it.
Yeah,
really, really nice. Let's get to the phone lines again. Peter's a Liverpool fan. Welcome to the show, mate.
Hello, lads. You okay?
Hi, Pete.
Hello, John.
Go on, Pete. What are we talking about tonight?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask Aldo. Obviously, this coming summer, Liverpool have already signed two players, the lad Grujic from Red Star and looks like Joel Matip from Schalke. Yeah. Both obviously over 6 feet tall. Do you think this will go some way to addressing our defensive problems?
Yeah, set play problems, yeah. You know, the lad he's got on a free from Schalke today, it's interesting, he's 6'4", isn't he? He's an international for Cameroon as well. I don't know not much about him other than that, really, to be quite honest, but I think he knows it's evident. He's assessing things, Jurgen Klopp, over the last 4 months. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see we struggle off corners and set plays. Yeah. So he's attending it. He's attending the problems. You know, we need a couple of meaty players in certain areas, don't we? Because that's where we let ourselves down. We get out-fought, out-battled. Times, I'm not surprised. And as a free, if he's what he wants and he knows the German league and you think he'll do the trick at Anfield, then it's freed up money, you know, for hopefully special players, because you're going to have to pay top dollar, top draw, you know, for the players that you need to take us to where we want to be. And if he's got him on a free, and the Grealish was only, what was that, 7 million or so, was it, 7, 8 million?
Just over five.
Five, I think, five and a half.
So that could be hopefully good business, but I don't know too much about the players, you know.
Yeah, do you think there'll be, like, more signings in that mode, as in terms of, like, taller players? Because we have seen, so I've had a small squad, if you like, it in the past few seasons.
Yeah. We have a small squad. You know, you look at some of the players, you know, Brendan brought in particularly, you know. I thought we were going to come out to the anthem of I Ho at one time. You know what I mean? you want some height in your team. You've got to balance it out, haven't you, Sharp? Centre-halves, you need your two centre-halves, obviously, to have height. Someone up front, you know, your centre-forward's a bonus. Like, if you like, I'm just saying, throw Benteke in, who can come back and, you know, set plays and help out, you know, midfield with the stature and a bit of size. It does help, because a lot of teams, i.e. West Brom, and going back to them and Stoke and some other ones, rely and they do good, put in really good set plays and corners, and they're hard to defend, you know, because that's how they get most of the points. So
look at Tottenham now, Aldo.
Well, yeah, Tottenham big strong side, physical yeah. side, yeah. Mm.
Peter, what would be the first signing you'd make in the summer?
Say again, Steve.
What would be the first signing you'd make in the summer for yourself personally?
It's got to be a goalkeeper for me. Mignolet struggled quite a lot. I think it's been highlighted, hasn't it, over the whole of the season. I think we need someone who's gonna command that area, who's gonna come out and take everything, take the ball, take the lot, and sometimes catch it as well instead of having to punch it all the time. So for me, it would be a goalkeeper. Yeah.
Nice one, Peter. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for your call. We'll speak to you soon again. Cheers, Peter. Peter was in Whiston. We'll get to Bobby, who's a Blue, in just a second. A quick thought on the guy who we've heard about today. And apparently, so Schalke are Dortmund's arch rivals, aren't they? So he could never have signed him at Dortmund. But it's interesting. He obviously knows pretty much quite a lot about him. He's come over here and straight away gone back for him.
Well, everyone was putting 2-2 together and saying, well, obviously he will go to the German market because that's where he knows most about. So I wouldn't be surprised if he went and got another one or maybe two from that sort of region. But we'll have to wait and see. You know, I'm sure it'll be a lot of money, as Liverpool have been over the years. You know, it's been spent very unwisely a lot of times. But I'm sure it'll be he will have talked when he got the job how much he probably have at the end of the season to enhance the squad. And as I said on Friday, with all the injuries, no one can complain. They've all had an opportunity. You know, and he's looked at the kids. You know what he liked at the kids now. So he's assessed everyone now, and he'll know what he wants to put in place and where he needs to be put in place come the summer.
And have Dortmund said he can't take players from them?
No.
I'm not sure whether, you know, he'd have been back. He went back to Dortmund. No.
I think he said he's okay to do it, I think. But whether he does or not, you know, I've got a feeling he will. I think he'll go out and bring one of their players in who he trusts.
Did Swansea not sell out to Brendan originally? I don't know. Anyway, we signed Joe, didn't we?
That's right. Yeah.
Let's talk with Bobby, who's a Blue. Hi, Bobby. Oh, right. Hang on. Let me just have a fiddle with this desk.
What are we working with? Anyhow, how long have you been doing this for?
Months. Oh, hang on. You make one mistake and you get caned by you two. Bobby, how are you?
I'm all right. Just like to talk to Sharpie. Substitutions the weekend, I'm sure, we've exhausted it. And I'm sure Ben Techie comes into the same category, but Aruna Kone currently has the first touch of Peter Sutcliffe's hammer. You know, I don't know how the lad's getting left on the pitch for his own. I mean, he's got the crowd on his back. His confidence is obviously shot. It's painful, Sharpie, isn't it?
Yeah. As I was surprised, you know, when he came on. I said to the other caller as well, especially when you've got Morales there. When you've got Morales in there, I thought he would be a better option to give us. I think he's more of a goal threat than Kone is. But obviously, the manager continues to pick him and continues to play him. I was a little bit surprised, more so with Lennon coming off. And I know people have said he may well have been tired, but I still think Lennon had their left-back on toast. I thought the left-back didn't have a clue against him.
Do you not agree, Graham, that the whole problem with the squad is he hasn't got any left-sided midfield?
Yeah.
So, therefore, it's like kids' football, everything's down the right. He's trying to put square pegs in round holes. He's had Cleverley, Barkley. He'd had Naismith there. He's tried Kone there.
Yeah.
And in the end, he's forced by. The only thing he can do is take Lennon off. I mean, he could have put him on the left, but I'm amazed he never addressed it during the window.
Yeah, I thought he was looking at Yarmolenko, but whether he was looking for him to play down on the left-hand side.
Well, he plays down the right, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's a left-footer, so, like, you know, he can play on the left-hand side. But I just thought on Saturday, if he was bringing De La Feo on, it would have been for down the left-hand side, so they would have Lennon on one side and De La Feo on the other. As you quite rightly said, I think Kone's having a nightmare at the moment, and everything he does, you know, his confidence is shot, the crowd are on his back. So I must admit, I was surprised when he came on rather than Morales.
Just the last one, Graham. The Leighton Baines situation. I'm a little bit mystified. I don't... And England international has just been seen. Is he carrying a knock? I don't know.
I think what he's done there, I think he's done with Robles. Robles has come in and done well. I think Oviedo's done well when he's come in. And he's given them a chance to just keep the position. But if you're asking me again, as another one, Would they have Leighton Baines in the side? That my answer would be yes.
Or even if you put him on the left side of midfield, yeah. Or put Oviedo there in his proper position, who's at least got a little bit of natural left side.
I would play Baines. I would have Baines in it, but you know, I don't know what's going on, whether he's fully fit or whatever. The only reason I can think about is what I said, is the fact that Oviedo's done okay in that position. But for me, if you're picking your best side, and Everton side, I think Baines has got to be in it for me.
But what about left wing of Morelos? You'd have him on left wing, surely.
Yeah, but
from what I see from the outside, you know.
He's right footed, though, Aldo.
Yeah, but I've seen him playing left side.
I agree, he does
a bit of balance.
And he can come inside and he's right, yeah. I just think, I don't know what's going on there. I honestly don't know what's going on there. You know, at one stage he was going, and then the next minute he was happy to stay, Morelos, and I thought, yeah, everything had been sorted out, but I think he was a bit frustrated on Saturday.
I sat right behind him on Saturday, and I could tell he was frustrated. Yeah. I took him through his gloves to the floor. Yeah, I was a little bit gobsmacked myself, I think.
Yeah.
Bobby, you sound absolutely exasperated by it all.
Well, you know, what I'd say is I'm a fan of the manager, but like the lad said before, but if you time and time and time again, he's not learning his mistakes, there comes a point where you're just shrugging your shoulders and going, we've needed a left-sided midfield player now for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think we've had the Pienaar discussion before, where... Yeah. I mean, I'm right in thinking he has bought a left-sided player, and the Swiss lad, who's 21. And I thought, he's going to bring someone ill to fill the void. He's tried it with Shaqiri, he's tried it with someone else. And
You see, he's brought the big boy in, the which I think is a centre-forward, but hasn't he said he can play on either side?
Yeah. I mean, again, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
I mean, it all's a bit roaring. We'll be uninformed on that one, but I'm sure we'll see something, but...
Yeah.
And I know on the team selection, he probably won't get it aside.
Yeah.
Bobby, nice one. Thanks for your call. Good to talk with you this evening. Bob. Oh, you sound a little bit low tonight with all that. Let's get some of these questions coming on the text as well. Reggie in Bootle says, who does Sharpie think is going to leave this summer? Quite a bit of dead wood in my head in this squad.
I don't know who's out of contract, but you've got players. Obviously, Tim Hibber's been linked with a move to the MLS. I think Leon Osman might be coming to the end of his contract. I don't know what the situation is with Stephen Pienaar and getting to the age 30-odd plus. So, there may well be a few moving out in the summer. I don't know what the situation is with Dan Gibson as well, contract-wise. But I think there's a few coming to the end of their contract, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think there'll be changes.
And here's one for Aldo from Les, who's in Seaforth. If you're a Klopp, what's your first position that you'd address?
I do think we need a goalkeeper to run Mignolet, you know, for both of them to fight it out for the spot.
Might get the best out of him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think you've got to look at the forward situation before you start looking around me. Got to sort out the Daniel Sturridge situation, the Benteke situation. Ings will come back. Obviously... You know, he's got a Rigi there as a young lad learning his trade. That's major. He's got to sort it out. Benteke's not going to be the player for him to work the way he wants Liverpool to work. Then he might have to give China a ring to get the money that he want for him, because we paid 32 million for him. If he's going to keep Benteke, and you don't go bad player overnight, you've got to play to his strengths. We all know that. We've seen him at Villa. That's a major concern with what's going to be Sturridge, you know, and. It's tough. That's a tough decision with Daniel Sturridge, because we all seen at the weekend when he's played before what he gives you, but you've got to have him on the pitch.
Give China a ring. Right, 21 minutes past seven. Let's squeeze another call in. Gary, who's a Liverpool fan, he's in Wirral. Hi, Gary.
Hi, guys. You okay?
Gary, all right.
Good. Just to pick up what you just said there, Aldo, regards to the keeper for next season, I think Mignolet is not for us, to be honest. And one of the things I noticed is the week I went to the reserve game at home against Manchester City, and Bogdan was in goal. And I thought the first half, he was outstanding.
Seen it, yeah.
And, you know, okay, the result was 3-0, and, you know, it doesn't reflect it. But the keeper in the first half, some of the shots that he had at him, I thought he was brilliant. And I don't see why he just doesn't give him a go, because...
Well, he just had enough, you know, but obviously when... what happened at Watford, he'd had enough of mistakes, you know. I've always, you know, fought the corner for Simon Mignolet, and I think the manager has got to make his mind up on that. You know, can Bogdan come back and be a good keeper? Because that shot him to bits. Shot him to bits at Watford. And I think I watched him at Bolton and I've watched him in various. He's not a bad keeper, but sometimes a club's too big for certain individuals, and maybe that was the case. And you know, he when your confidence goes as a goalkeeper, that is we've seen it with other keepers before. It's a nightmare. It really is a nightmare for the lad, because you're talking about that game, and it's only an under 21 game. But how good was he? You know, Man City could have been six up at half time. You know, only for him, he's different class.
I thought, to be fair, I mean, those youngsters for Man City got out to get through to the first squad.
Oh, they had some good players, didn't they?
Very good players. I mean, we didn't do too bad about them, but they just ran rings around our defence. But the keeper kept us in the first half. But, you know, that's all it is. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great result yesterday. Obviously, it was Aston Villa, so, you know, we're not going to get overexcited about it yet. But it was, I mean, the difference it's made having Coutinho and Sturridge back in that team, it just gives us so much many options, because I think we've been so predictable going forward, you know, so it's just given us a little bit of an edge now, and I just hope that obviously injuries relate and they keep that way, and I hope he puts the same squad out on Thursday.
I think he will. You know, we just got to, if you can keep, you know, Daniel Sturridge on the pitch between now and the end of the season, you just don't know what might happen. And another thing that come up from yesterday, apart from a clean sheet, which haven't been done for a while away from home, was the fact we're in plus now. We're plus goal and goal difference. We've been in minus for months and months and months, which is something that you don't associate with Liverpool, isn't it?
Do you know what? As you made me laugh, I said, Johnny, when it went to come to that reserve game, it's probably the first game of Vince Banfield where the hot dogs were dearer than the tickets.
Gary, yeah, but
it was the under-21s. What was the price for the under-21s anyway, just out of curiosity?
I took my little one. That was £1 for children and £3 for adults.
Oh, that's great. Very good.
It's just a shame that more people don't go to make a bigger atmosphere and give the younger players, that experience of a full crowd. I think, you know, more fans go. I think they need to...
Yeah, but they keep the pitch under good condition. You play them at other grounds, don't they? Tramier.
Yeah, Prenton Park's doing quite a few.
Great, yeah.
Gary, thanks for your call. Absolutely brilliant.
Thanks, guys.
We've got to wrap the show up in just a moment's time. So you're expecting to see a strong team out against Augsburg?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah, they got beaten 3-1 by Bayern Munich at the weekend.
Was that at home or away?
At home.
Was it?
So they're struggling down there at the bottom of the Bundesliga at the moment.
Yeah, but you don't take nothing for granted in Europe, you know, but... But, yeah, he's got to go strong out there, look for a away goal or two, because we struggle at home. I think we've got more chance of beating them away from home than we have at home, to be quite honest.
What have you got coming up this week, Sharpie, anything?
I think player of the month lunch. I'm not sure who's got it on Wednesday.
Really?
I'm not sure who's got it.
Who do you think would be in the top three for that one?
I don't know, mate.
Go on, have a punt.
I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell.
You're on this show to give us your informed opinion. You picked it and you can't remember.
I can't remember.
What's going on there? Go on, there must be three. The month of February. No, the month of January? What's it?
Yeah.
When's it for?
Yeah.
He's forgotten completely.
He scored the goals. Lukaku's got to be in there. He scored a lot of goals.
No, yes.
Chaff, so we can't wait forever. No. 5 seconds left. We'll be back with the Radio City Legends on Friday with Aldo and Sharpie. See you then.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.